You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm taking today's show solo. As always, you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Follow me on Twitter at FriedmanAdam5. I am the picture with the corgi, of course. And you can follow my other co-host who's not on today's show, Tony East, at TEastNBA. On today's show, I'm going to be doing a couple things. I'm going to recap some of the Pacers wins this week already. They beat the Sacramento Kings on Tuesday, 101-83, and I'm recording this right now at about 1 a.m. on Wednesday. Now it's Thursday morning, but Pacers beat the Cavs earlier today, 124-107. An impressive, really impressive win for this team. If you haven't gone to IndyCornrows.com recently, check out my article there on Victor Oladipo. Some good little tidbits about how his stats are sustainable long term. As always, you can read Tony at Hoops Habitat. And I don't think I got anything else to promote right now on this podcast. As always, we've got other shows coming up later this week. We'll do a Philadelphia 76ers preview for Friday and a Knicks preview for Sunday. I think Tony will do both those shows, and then Tony and I will be back again on Monday. So on the other side of this 30-second break will be the recap of the Cavs-Kings games, and then one thought I have on the Pacers and how they can adjust their lineups with the return of Miles Turner, hopefully Friday or Sunday. All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday, you're probably already on. The Pacers are now 2-0 this week on a 3-game win streak. They beat the Spurs on Sunday, Kings on Tuesday, and Cavs on Wednesday. A really quite impressive run for this Pacer team that is so young, so almost inexperienced in some sense, and really just new. So what I mean by that is the Pacers are brought in three new starters. They've been starting four new guys, most recently with Miles Turner's out. So, and they brought in a couple new guys off the bench. And this is for a team that hasn't played more than now. I think they're 8 games in. They have incredible chemistry. It's something I've noticed in both games this week. You know, if you saw the Cavs game today, this team does an incredible job of making those quick extra passes. I can't remember the exact moment or the exact play I saw it on, but I think it was mid-third quarter, and there was a play where Thad Young comes down and he quick passed it back to Darren Collison and just drove right in and laid it in. I mean, it was just the kind of thing where you would see, oh yeah, guys who have played together for 3 or 4 years, they know each other, just in strength, they know where to put the ball. But I mean, this Pacer team seems to understand exactly where they need to put the ball. They're making that extra pass, which is incredible for a team that has had played, I guess, a total of 400 minutes together. And it's what separates this team really in the beginning of the season from all the other teams. I mean, you can see it in the Cavs. They just don't have the chemistry that they're probably going to have in April. And the Pacers have this chemistry right now and are exploiting it. And it's awesome to see. I mean, you know, this Pacer team, we wasn't high expectations coming into the season because they brought in so many new players. They traded away Paul George, whatever. But they look like a team that has been together for 3 years. And the way they pass, distribute, almost the unselfishness sort of reminds me of those early 2010 Pacer teams. So I'm talking 09, 2010, 2011, those kind of 3 years before Roy Hibbert emerged as kind of one of those defensive stalwarts, before Paul George even really emerged. Those teams were, you know, three playoff teams. You know, it was lost the first round of the Bulls, then lost second round of Heat, then made these conference finals. And it was this kind of team of like 9 guys deep. It wasn't about, you know, having that superstar, because at the time Paul George was super young. It was just about having 9 guys who could all play at like a quality level. I mean, that team was the core 5 guys. You know, George Hill, point guard, Lance, Hibbert, West, George. They come off the bench, they had like Luis Scola. They had Danny Granger, or even Granger might have been starting for Stevenson at this point. Hansborough. I mean, they had so many good guys off the bench, and it was kind of an awesome team because it wasn't about, hey, we've got one guy that's going to dominate. No, it was like, we can bring in 9 guys deep in the playoffs. Anybody at any moment could be the best scorer on our team. It was just, the teams were incredible, and it's why they were so successful. I mean, that's probably the most successful Pacer run outside of any non-Reggie Miller team, was that 2011-2013 run. And right now, I've watched the Pacers, they remind me of that. You know, there is Oladipo is kind of the star of the team, I guess you would say. But I mean, every night it's different guys putting up 20 points. I mean, against the Kings, I think Sabonis led all scorers. I can't remember top of my head. I think he led all scorers with 17. You know, you had 15 from Young. Tonight, or last night against the Cavs, it was Young who led the team again, but then Collison had another 22 to throw in there. I mean, this team is just like every night it's somebody different stepping up, and it's incredible to watch. I mean, I've been extremely impressed by Darren Collison. I don't know where he's pulling out. I mean, he looks faster than I've ever thought he was. I mean, he just looks like he sees the game in a different way. I mean, it's awesome to watch him play because I think he's kind of making a case that he could be, you know, top 15 point guard. I mean, there are a lot of great points in the NBA, but he looks like up par with them, you know. Is able to, he played some decent defense against Derrick Rose. I mean, he's not expected to play this incredible defense, but he's been incredible on offense. He's been just awesome. I mean, he's averaging 7.1 assists this season. I mean, obviously, he had that great 16 assist game against the Timberwolves a few weeks ago. Tonight, he had 8 assists. I mean, he's just been great. So, I mean, that's just part of this team is that they got this point guard who at any moment could just go off. I mean, he's 9 of 10, but then they also have all these other guys who you don't know who's going to be the best guys. I mean, sometimes it could be Corey Joseph. He's great off the bench. Eventually, Sabonis is going to come off the bench, which is going to make that his team even better. I mean, there are just so many good players, and I just wonder, you know, when Turner comes in, how this kind of shakes things up, and not in a bad way. So it kind of moves on to my next point with them. It's when Turner comes back, what sort of happens to Sabonis and Young and Leaf? I mean, those are kind of the four guys. I get it. The Pacers will dump Al Jefferson. I mean, Jefferson's okay with that. He'll become kind of the way Wilkins is a guy that come in occasionally when a guy gets hurt or a guy needs a rest or whatever. He'll come in and play a tiny bit. I mean, the Pacers kind of rotating Wilkins and Joe Young trying to see what they got. I think Wilkins has clearly proved he's better than Joe Young. Joe Young just doesn't give the effort out there that's needed. But back to my point on Turner. So when Turner comes back, the probably move is Sabonis goes to the bench, right? But then he becomes kind of the sixth man. So if Thad Young against the Cavs played 38 minutes, I don't think you want him playing that many minutes. Sabonis played 37. I mean, you don't want those guys playing that many minutes. Probably 30 to 32 was good. Save them kind of all year. Let them, you know, you don't want to burn guys out early in the season. So there's about 96 power forward set of minutes a game, right? So if you could evenly disperse it, you give each guy, each Sabonis, Young, and Turner 32 minutes each. The only problem with that is then you have to push TJ Leaf. So I wonder if there's some lineup out there where the Pacers just had to go, you know, different than any other team. And I like to see them try this just to see what it's like. But what if they went more of a big lineup? And so what I mean is, what if you tried playing Thaddeus Young or TJ Leaf or Sabonis even as the backup small forward? Or maybe Turner even. I mean, I know it's kind of crazy to think about, right? Because Turner is such a good you know, defender at the rim, and Sabonis is such a good rebounder, and Thad Young's just been incredible over the place. You know, he's just the most steady presence on this team. He's been that way for almost 2 years. But there's got to be some lineup where you can play all three guys together, because they're you know, if you put that line together with Collison and Oladipo, that might be the best five guys in this team currently. You know, Bogdanović is great. I don't want to discount Bogdanović, but, you know, his defense is sometimes a liability. He does a great job of helping spread the floor, so that's, you know, that's his job. So I just wonder, because Bogdanović can't play, you know, 35 minutes a game, because I don't think he's built to play that many minutes. And they've had to play a ton of Joseph and a ton of Stevenson. And I like Joseph. Joseph fits in well as being the backup point guard, backup two at times. But I don't think Stevenson fits that well as being the backup small forward, especially without Robinson. So I wonder, you know, it's either, you know, at some point they have to decide, do they want to move on from Thad Young? But he's been so good, you don't want to move on from Thad Young. You want to keep on this team because, you know, if this team makes the playoffs, he's going to be a critical part of why they do, because he's been awesome. But then you don't want to kind of put TJ Leaf aside, because he's clearly proven he doesn't need to be in the D-League, but he deserves some minutes to give some shots. So maybe the option here is you significantly bring back TJ Leaf's minutes and you don't play him every night. But I feel like that's kind of a disservice to a young guy who could really use the minutes to blossom, because he's clearly proven he's a good enough offensive player. I don't know, defensively he's good enough, but offensively he's good enough. So, you know, there's something there they could figure out, but they've got to play Sabonis, Young, and Turner almost 30 minutes a game, because they're three, you know, they're the second, third, and fourth best player. I don't, maybe fifth, depending where you put Collison, but those three guys are three of the best five players in this team when they're healthy, you know, when they're out there. So I think that's just interesting to think about. I would love to see McMillan kind of go out on a limb and try something different. You know, remember, this team, yes, wants to make the playoffs, but maybe against the Kings are probably a good team to try things, because they have a ton of centers. But like a team maybe like, you know, Detroit, you try to play the young Sabonis and Turner together and see what you can do, because I think Turner has enough skill defensively to guard forwards at times, and same with Sabonis, you know, and they all can stretch the floor, so I think that's kind of an issue. As long as Dajon keeps shooting the way from three, that's fine. I know Sabonis is a little bit of not a three-point shooter, but he's such a good rebounder that it counters that, and he's such good off the pick and roll and getting to the hoop and setting up that pass to top of key. I mean, he's really good at that. He's kind of reminds me of a David West type of player, where he can shoot the jumper at times, but he's going to be down there banging for rebounds. He's going to be kind of the energy of your team, kind of the heart of it, the kind of the toughness of it at times. So I wonder if there's a lineup out there where they could figure that out. You know, I was thinking earlier season, let's go all guards. You know, how do you get Oladipo and Collins and stuff? But like, I think the way the NBA is going is you should do the opposite. I mean, you know what I mean? You can't be the Warriors. Every team in the NBA wants to be the Warriors, right? The Pacers are trying to do it. Every team's trying to go small. So what happens if you just try something new? You know what I mean? It's not like Indiana has anything really to lose. You know, you could try it for a game or two. If it doesn't work, you lose both games and you move on. And you figure out how to do it. But I think there's a way to make this work with those three guys. I mean, my co-host Tony's love to say, what if you play TJ Leaf at the small forward? Yeah, that's an option too. I mean, you know, Leaf brings some of the same skill set that Bogdanovich brings. He's a great three-point shooter. You know, he stretches the floor at times. Bogdanovich is obviously a better shooter than any player on this team. You know, I know Oladipo is shooting incredible, but I think Bogdanovich is the best, you know, pure shooter on this team, but he's not the great defensive player. And at nights where he has to guard LeBron, it's a little screwy. And I wonder if you could put Thad Young for limited minutes on LeBron. You know, we've seen him switch on to him at times and not do a terrible job. So just a kind of a food for thought out there I'm trying to throw out. Because it'll be interesting to see when Turner comes back how they kind of do the minutes, because clearly Sabonis needs to play 30 minutes a game. Clearly Young needs to play somewhere in 30 minutes a game. I think, you know, they both play 38, 37 because at this point that's where they need. You know, the Pacers don't quite have that 15-minute backup. They have, you know, really quality backup center power forward in Sabonis, who's technically the bench guy, who should play more than 15, but maybe shouldn't play 37, just because that's a lot of minutes for any player. I think I'm a fan of playing guys 30, 35 every game so they don't burn out. But since this team has a, you know, a different outlook now. You know, I think they're going to beat the Sixers and Knicks this weekend and end up being 7-3 through the first 10. Nobody would have thought that. You know, maybe even they go 6-4. I mean, at this point, even going 5-5 to the first 10 is like, you know, above expectations. I think this team has the mindset of they're going to win 35, 40 games and make the playoffs. And if they do, you know, they're going to need Sabonis, Young, and Turner. All three are going to be critical pieces of them trying to make the playoffs. So just a food for thought out there. If you have any comments on that thought, I might be writing an article about that. I'm probably going to preview the weekend, and then I'm going to kind of do kind of a deep dive into it when needed, because I want to wait till Turner comes back to see what they do and probably write something on it and then post it once Turner returns. And if you have any comments, questions, send them at the show at Locked On Pacers. Send it to me at FriedmanAdam5. You can also get me that email. It's the same, FriedmanAdam5@gmail.com. I don't think I have any more for the rest of the show. Make sure to check out the rest of our shows later this week. There'll be two more after this one. A preview one Friday on the 76ers and another one Sunday for the Knicks. I think right now Tony has two guests set up, but I'm not sure who. I'll let him surprise you with that one. So that's been all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.